Ira, we've talked forever about how general manager Sean Sullivan and Bill Curry Ford really is there to take care of Bucks fans, your listeners and readers, however he can, to make a new truck, a new SUV, a new car, a used car, part of their future. And the family service that he provides at Bill Curry Ford really is for real. And you're going to get an Ira Kaufman discount. You're going to get all the tremendous things that Bill Curry Ford has to offer with the nationwide lifetime warranty for new and pre-owned vehicles. But Ira, tell the folks that it's real. It really is real.
Steve, I can't say enough about my Cherry Red Escape. It's a fantastic vehicle. Love driving it. Fight my wife every day. Who's going to get to drive it? And just to put it in a little perspective, my first car, and I should be ashamed to say it, Lee, it was a red Gremlin, AMC Gremlin. I think it cost me $1,900 used. I got it in Clifton, New Jersey, and drove it over the Verrazano Bridge. And when I have enough time on the next podcast, I might tell the Verrazano Bridge story. You think you've heard classic Sage stories? Most people think this is number one, but I have stepped up in class a long, long way from the Gremlin to the Escape. And Sean Sullivan will do anything to put you in a vehicle. Go in there. You're not going to be disappointed. BillCurryFord.com, a mile north of the stadium on the east side of Dale Mabry.
Ira, hurricane season. Hopefully it doesn't heat up anytime soon. But you know what hurricane season means? A lot of times, disasters of all kinds. And when you have any kind of disaster in your home, you want to call Florida's Elite Restoration or go to their website immediately, floridaseliterestoration.com. Even just write down their information right now so you have it ready just in case something happens, because that's who you have to call if you have any disaster. They will help you. They will come out to your home free. They will assess everything. Don't call the insurance company first. Call them first. They'll walk you through what might be happening next and what you need to do. And they are ready 24/7 to assist you. This is a great local company. They're also mold remediation specialists, licensed. This is not just Johnny the Mold Guy that you heard about from your plumber. Florida's Elite Restoration, that's where it's at.
I don't have personal experience with a mold problem, but I do know this. It's pretty common. You wouldn't be the first guy on your block to have this. And it's an issue that gets a lot worse very quickly if left unattended. Florida's Elite Restoration, they'll come out, give you a free inspection, tell you what's going on, minor, major, doesn't matter. They'll take care of it, and you will be pleased with the result. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Training camp is here. Tom Brady is in the building, and the sage of Tampa Bay sports is fired up for his award-winning podcast, the world-renowned, the king of Pasco County, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford. It's Ira Kaufman on the Ira Kaufman podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucks Fan. Lee DeKemper is here. All the fun is presented by Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com. Get there today. 0% financing for 72 months on new vehicles. Only goes to the end of the month. BillCurryFord.com. Sage, Ira, how are you today? We got a lot to talk about. We're going fast. We're going furious. And we might even do three podcasts this week.
Absolutely. I'm doing well, gentlemen. Best regards out to Buck Nation. Lee, there's a famous quote. I don't remember who said it. You might. May you live in interesting times. Might have been a president. I don't know. Could have been Swaggy Baker. Somebody said that. And may you live in interesting times. And here we are, 3 days into baseball season. Nobody knows what the heck's going on. Brady in the house. We don't know when the first padded practice is. We got a player that's quarantined. Lee, interesting times. These are unprecedented times. And for three veteran sports scribes like ourselves, these are definitely uncharted waters, Mr. DeKemper.
But real quick to this virus. It's borderline irresponsible for people jumping the gun, saying, oh my gosh, the Marlins, we have an outbreak in baseball. We got to shut it down. What does this do for college football? What does this do for NFL? What does it do for playing jacks on Thanksgiving weekend? all the humanity. I'm like, calm down. As far as I know, they're still going to play baseball, the Marlins. As far as I know, they still have a team they can field. Just hysteria this morning. Like, you know, what's going to happen now? Oh, no. I'm like, calm down. Am I off base here?
You're not. I don't see baseball shutting down immediately. They have to adjust, just like the NFL. Guys are going to have to adjust this fall to what occurs, you know, whether they have to expand practice squads or whatever. They'll do what needs to be done. Steve, too much money in baseball to shut it down over one incident, albeit a serious outbreak. But no talk about shutting down baseball right now, Steve. And we need a little perspective. There's no question about it.
Yeah. People have to calm down. And Ira, shutting down baseball, I'm pulling away from Tyler Glasnow. Just struck out 8 batters in the first 4 innings. I'm talking to you. What am I doing here? Thank goodness for the DVR.
That's social distancing right there, baby. That's social distancing.
Here's one for you, Ira. I was watching the NFL Network this afternoon, and your old friend, Judy Batista, had a report.
Right.
She's as solid a reporter as there is. And she said she had spoken with an owner, didn't mention who, of course, just said she spoke with an owner, and that owner told her, now I don't know if he's talking about the league in general or just his team, but the owner is expecting high positive tests by the players initially. And if I remember right, her exact term was uncomfortable numbers. Mm. But that's because, per this owner, you got guys flying in from all corners of the country. And once they're in their bubble, for lack of a better term, under the team's control, tested often every few days, that those numbers will go down. Your
Absolutely.
Thoughts?
First thing, Lee, I don't know this for a fact, but I know Judy Batista. She went to UM. She covered the Hurricanes. Then she ended up at the New York Times and still lives in New York. So if I had to hazard a guess, I would say John Mara. Without knowing it for a fact, John Mara, who she's gotten close to and trusts her, as he should over the years to keep his anonymity. That makes sense to me, Lee. In the beginning, why should the NFL be any different? Why should we think there's not going to be an outbreak early in training camp before this bubble descends on everybody and envelops them? Remember that movie, The Blob? Steve McQueen was in that movie, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was in the late 50s, like a cheesy horror movie. So that's what this bubble's about.
Ira, there is no NFL bubble. Don't confuse people. There's no bubble. These guys come in, they're going to get tested every day, and then they'll go home and do what they want.
They're not going to do what they want, Steve, if they're responsible people. And if they cherish their vocation, which is a very highly paid one. Steve, I don't see them partying on the streets of Tampa. I think some of the strip clubs on Dale Mabry are going to be devoid of Buck players for a while. For a while, guys. You know what? I think that message is going to be drilled in by Bruce Arians to the team. Now, look, there may be a few strays. There might be. But I think, by and large, I think people are going to be very, very responsible. And as Lee said, the testing is going to be over the top, if there is such a thing, over the top.
Well, Ira, you've got 80 guys in training camp, 80 players, and if 5 of them don't behave, that's a great percentage. But it still can change the whole scope of the team once the virus doesn't care
which
player.
Well, the young guys, Steve, the young guys want to make the team. Young guys want to make the team, and if you get quarantined for a week or two, your chances really shrink. So they also have to have that in mind too.
I get it, Ira. There's a knucklehead everywhere. All right, let's get right after it. Keyshawn Vaughn. Keyshawn Vaughn, rookie third round pick, comes in for his pre-testing, as all the players reporting do. Now the rookies and quarterbacks report early. That's why Tom Brady was in the building today already, because he already passed his 2 virus tests. But Keyshawn Vaughn, something happened. Either he failed the test, Ira, or when he went through his battery of questions with the Bucks, he revealed that he was around somebody with the virus. So he's now on this COVID-19 reserve list, and the NFL has yet to release what that means as it relates to how a player can return to active duty. So this is a big mystery, Ira. We don't know if he has to have 2 negative tests in a row, which is the protocol in baseball, or he just has to go through a quarantine time. We don't know anything other than he's not able to practice, but we don't even know if the guy can sit in on the Zoom meetings, which is really all it's going to be for a few days. So what's your take on that? What's your thought process there?
I think this has the potential to be a significant blow for the 2020 Bucks. Look, there's already a lot on Ronald Jones's table. I know he's taken it very seriously in the offseason. He's got himself in shape. He's worked out with Brady, but he's unproven. He's still relatively unproven, especially as a pass catcher. We seem to dwell on that, and I think for good reason. Tom Brady's in town, and this is not Jameis Winston. This is Brady looking for James White, looking for Deion Lewis. That's his history on third and six. And I think it could be a boon for the seventh-round pick for Calais. Now, he's not going to get first-team reps in training camp. We understand that. Jones is still the man. Jones, you know, they're putting a lot on Jones's plate. But Calais might have been an afterthought. He might have been just a kick return or something like that. Now he moves up in the pecking order. Depending on how serious this thing is with Vaughn, Vaughn's made the news, Lee, the last couple of days. He's flexing his muscles a little bit, his verbal muscles. He wants to sit at the big boys' table. We shall see. He showed some pass-catching skills in college, some, but he has not caught his first pro pass, and like Lee likes to say, potential only gets you so far. If Vaughn misses some serious time, I think the Bucks would be another step closer to getting a veteran running back that is a proven pass catcher. I really do.
Wow.
Steve, what do you think? You think this Vaughn thing could be significant if he misses an extended period of time, or you say, big deal, he's a third-round pick. Who the heck cares?
Well, I'm just being realistic, and, you know, look, I wish the guy good health, first of all. If he has the virus, I hope he's fine, like most people are, within a week or so. Today's what, July 27th? If he doesn't really have any complications with the virus and he's good to go and he's back on August 7th, as an example, I don't think it should hold him back too much, not too much.
I agree with that. I agree with that, especially this kind of training camp, this training camp.
Right. It's hard to say, though, really hard to say. And I don't even know if he's going to get to sit home and be involved in all these online meetings. That really kind of is a small factor anyway. Plus, just because a guy has a virus doesn't mean he can't work out at home.
And you probably share the sentiment, but I don't know. I've been thinking about Arians. I've been thinking about Arians and putting myself in Arians' shoes. And, you know, look, I'm about that age, and I don't have any, compelling reason to go out there, and he does. And I don't know. I'm very curious about he's going to have to change his regimen. He's going to have to change his routine, and he's a creature of habit. He's probably not going to like it, but I get the feeling that he respects this virus. I do.
Oh, yeah.
He's got the, you know, those comorbidities that they talk about, the underlying things, and you got to hope Arians is smart here. I think he will be.
Well, the Bucks, depending who you bank on for reliable information, there's a couple websites out there that monitor salary caps. And the Bucks are either the team with in the biggest pinch as far as least amount of salary, or the
right.
Second least amount of salary cap room. It looks like, you know, the salary cap will drop next year. It looks that way. That's the NFL and NFLPA negotiated to keep this year's salary cap stable. The salary cap could drop roughly $17 million next year, give or take $3 or $4 million. And I wrote a story where I think that means the Bucks have a one-year window. They were hoping it was a two-year window. Now I think it's a one-year window. Your thoughts?
Interesting. So much can happen, Lee. So much can happen until the 2021 offseason. There could be no NFL 2020 season. If that happens, I've already written, Brady would have to at least consider a retirement. No Buck fan wants to hear that. No Buck fan wants to contemplate that. But it's out there. They've got guys that are due, the Chris Godwins of the world. You know, Levante David wants another extension, and we shall see what happens. But it's funny because we have not talked about this franchise in a salary crunch for quite a while. As a matter of fact, The Bucks, Steve, correct me if I'm wrong, but they like to flex their muscles a little bit about how much flexibility they have under the salary cap, and that hasn't been the case recently. So, look, Lee's got a point. A two-year experiment can quickly dissolve to a one-year experiment. Now, if it works, all bets are off, and they'll try to keep as many guys as they can. But, Steve, they go 8-8 with Brady. All bets are off for 2021.
Well, Ira, when you lose year after year after year, that's what you flex your muscles about, salary cap room, instead of victories and, yeah, and playoff wins. But here's the thing about the salary cap from where I'm sitting, Sage. There are about 8 or 9 teams that already, for next year, on the books, including the Saints and the Eagles, 8 or 9 teams that already are up to the cap next year. The Bucs are not in that situation. They have a lot of contracts ending this year, so they actually have more flexibility than some teams. But, of course, who cares about the other teams? We just want to keep our good players. So Lee's talk about the one-year window is very real because you're either going to have to renegotiate guys or you're going to have to lose guys. Now, in theory, it's the same for everybody around the league, and you should be able to cut some salaries, but the theory doesn't help when you have to wave goodbye to a good player. So in many ways, it is a one-year window, but I think we've all learned through the years that, you know what, some guys are going to play crappy this year or they're going to get hurt, and if they're a big-money guy, then you don't mind getting rid of them. I mean, let's just be real. If Ryan Jensen or Ali Marpet are borderline or just don't have good years, well, they're making top dollar with no more guaranteed money. Maybe it's time to move on if you have to save some money with one of them if they really don't have a good year. You know, I hate to say it, but suppose Jensen pulls a groin and misses 4 games and has a bleh kind of year. Why would you bring him back? You know, you can go around the whole team like that. Same thing with Shaq Barrett. If he has 9 sacks, well, he's not Shaq Barrett anymore.
I mean, there's a chance that suppose Tyler Johnson turns out to be a stud. I mean, it's possible. Of course, we don't know how many targets he's going to get this fall. There's a lot of elite talents out there for Brady to throw to, but suppose the Bucks are convinced that this kid is a steal, an absolute steal. Niall, you know, Godwin wants to be paid. Evans is making a lot of money. They might decide to do something there. I mean, a lot can change, certainly, by next offseason.
A month ago, Jeff Cameron, our friend up in Tallahassee, had me on his show, ESPN Tallahassee, the otherwise known as the Jeff Cameron Show. I know it's a reach. Jeff Cameron Show, hosted by Jeff Cameron. Anyway, he asked, and we were talking about this very subject, and obviously we did not know what the salary cap was going to be next year or what it's targeted. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, if the NFL does have this drop in revenues, what do the Bucks do? Because they might be jammed. They might have to, you know, throw some guys overboard. And he asked me, he said, between Evans and Godwin, who would you keep? I'm like, wow. I said, man, that's tough, because I really love Evans, and I think the role of Godwin. And we were talking back and forth, and finally he said, Lee, I could tell it in your voice. I could tell the pain in your voice. If I put a gun to your head, you might say Evans. And my reply was, well, Bill Walsh always said it's better to get rid of a guy too early than too late. And, man, would I hate to see Evans go. But if it came between Evans and Godwin, I'd probably lean to keep Godwin, only because Evans is going to be 27 very shortly here.
I think that's a debate Buck fans don't even want to contemplate, Steve. But Godwin is younger. Evans proved he was great before Godwin came around, so you can't say Godwin has helped to make Evans. You could argue vice versa, although I don't think that's fair to Godwin. Look, you don't even want to think about those things. I don't think it'll be even discussed.
Sage,
at one buck place, unless Tyler Johnson turns out to be a stud.
I got to be clear. I am not in any way, shape, or form advocating the Bucks getting rid of Evans. I'm just saying if they got to cut salary, and as you said, Ira, if Tyler Johnson blows up, and they got to shave 17 to 20 million off of next year's, you know, off the payroll next year to beat salary cap. If I had to choose between Evans and Godwin, if I, you know, painted into a corner like that, I would probably pick Godwin.
Hold on, Steve.
I'm not
He's going to weigh in, and he's going to clobber both of us over here.
He's going to clobber both of us, I'm sure, but I just want to make it clear. I am in no way advocating for the Bucks to unload Evans next year.
Right. Sage, who's it's a great topic Lee brought up. Who would you pick if that were the case?
I would keep Godwin.
I don't believe what I'm hearing. I cannot believe this. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say. Let me set you straight, boys, okay? Mike Evans has proven that he can be a number one receiver in the NFL playing outside with double coverage all day long. Chris Godwin has never shown that he can do that whatsoever. Never. And if you got one top dog, Mike Evans has proven he can be a top dog receiver without a ton of weapons around. Chris Godwin is, we don't know that he can even do that. And not every head coach is going to use him like Arians has as a hybrid slot guy. If Godwin had to flush outside and be the number one guy facing the Lattimores and those guys every week, I don't know how he'd fare. So I'm going with Evans.
Well, he's improved by leaps and bounds every freaking season, Steve. You got to admit that.
Imagine the haul he could get for Evans.
Yeah, and that's another point, Steve. That's another point.
Well, you should be able to get the same haul for Godwin if you, but you wouldn't have him under contract in the same way because, you know, he's going to be a free agent. It's a fun debate. I'm sick of the Bucks getting rid of Hall of Famers, and I'm not convinced Godwin's on that spot.
That's a fair point.
Well, Ira, I know that a man like you stays fit and ready with his immune system by consuming massive quantities of Big Storm beer and Big Storm Cuban sandwiches. I heard you and Lee made a jaunt to Big Storm, the Odessa Tap Room, for a fine lunch and a beer. Is this true?
It's absolutely true. We met Friday afternoon. We had a very fine waitress. And I want our listeners to know that when the check came, the Kemper, instead of short-arming the ball like some Buck receivers of the past, went out and grabbed that check. And to top it off, Steve, before anybody says how much of a cheapskate I am, I gave the waitress a 20. I told her to give me 10 bucks back. She got a $10 tip. I would dare say that was her best tip of the afternoon. She was very happy. And I couldn't even finish the Cuban. It was that much to savor. I was going to save the whole second half, and I couldn't help myself. While the Kemper was finishing his Cuban, I took two bites out of that other half of the Cuban. And I brought it home, and the other day, my wife said, what are we having for lunch? I said, hey, I got half a Cuban left. All I got to do is warm it up. She took it out of the bag, and she said, what's going on here? There's a couple of bites missing. And she goes, what a husband. You couldn't help yourself, could you? And Lee had a drink, and I had water. And, Steve, they got their own water. Big Storm on the bottle, and they only charge $1 for water. You can't get a bottle of water for $1. And it was absolutely refreshing. So, hats off, you know, you're going to talk about the Brumosa. Even their water is refreshing, Steve.
Lee, what kind of Big Storm were you drinking this weekend?
Wavemaker Amber Ale.
There you go.
Very good, very good. Of course, Big Storm is all about the beer. Florida's best craft beer. BigStormBrewery.com is where you can find the beer near you in liquor stores, wherever you buy beer. BigStormBrewery.com. And, of course, Ira will be at the flagship location in Clearwater all season long for road games, watching with fans at their giant new outdoor covered outdoor area to watch the Bucks and all the games. Nice. So much fun ahead.
Rain or shine, baby. Rain or shine.
Rain or That's shine. Right. And the Brumosa will be flowing. The fans keep sending us pictures of their Brumosa purchases, Ira. It is that good, and people are fired up. All right, Lee, I think you had some commentary coming. You were about to say something before, and I know that I'm just still fired up about this Evans-Godwin 2021 debate, but I got to dial that back.
I do have another question. It's about another rookie for Ira. And it's kind of, you know, Ira's into this, about the offensive line and Wirfs. And, Tom Bassinger, as we know, he did some research for Football Outsiders, their 2020 almanac. And in that almanac, his research showed that Brady is okay with edge rush. He does a decent job getting rid of the ball with edge rush. He doesn't get hit too often with rush coming from the edge. What gives him a problem is a rush coming up the middle. Bassinger didn't write this. This is me just thinking out loud. Well, if that's the case, and Wirfs is coming in, with virtually no offseason, let's be honest, and a mitigated training camp. So right. His first time he puts on a Bucks uniform, it's going to be in the Superdome against the Saints. Will that help out worse in the sense, Ira, that Brady can handle an edge rush, he can't handle the rush up the middle?
I think Wirfs is going to need every advantage he gets, and I think that's that could be a significant one. And it makes sense. The Bassinger research makes sense. Look at the quarterbacks that are not known for their mobility. Brady, Drew Brees, Joe Flacco, when he was in his prime. Those guys don't like the runs up the breakdowns up the middle. They like to step up into the pocket, whereas the Russell Wilsons of the world, Lamar Jackson, Mahomes. I mean, I watch Mahomes every week. The Chiefs' line is average. It's just an average line. He faces a lot of pressure. But the problem is the pressure comes up the middle and they flush him to the outside and he gets around that edge and then, you know, he's very dangerous. Not so with Mr. Brady. Tom Brady doesn't want to skirt right end or left end, nor does he have the wheels to do so. Neither does Breeze. They always talk about Breeze. He's shorter. You can pressure him up the middle. Well, guess what? The Saints aren't stupid. Sean Payton's one of the best coaches in this league. Maybe the second best coach behind Belichick, arguably. And he's got a fantastic offensive mind, and he knows the way teams want to attack guys like Breeze and Brady. They want to bring the heavy artillery up the middle. They want to blitz up the middle and flush them out. So where does that leave Wirfs? Well, if he was a center, I think there would be a heck of a lot more concern. He's playing right tackle. It's not the blind side. Brady has such pocket presence and awareness that if Wirfs gets beat off the snap, Brady will know about it for the most part. He's that savvy. So I think that all plays positively for Wirfs. What doesn't is this truncated, crazy training camp with no padded practices for the first 2 weeks, no OTAs, and a first game against Cameron Jordan, you know, who's one of the four or five best defensive ends in football. And he'll get a little bit of help, no question. But I think having Brady there really plays to Wirfs' advantage.
Day 20 is the first padded practice.
Wow.
Ira, the Miami Marlins that we mentioned earlier, they 11 out of 33 on their traveling staff, including players, 11 out of 33 tested positive. They had to cancel games. Now, I don't care about the baseball end of that. It'll work itself out. But Donovan Smith, on Monday, not even a week away, on Monday at 5 o'clock, Donovan Smith needs to make his decision, opt in or opt out. I don't know if Donovan Smith, living in Florida, looks at that, sees that it's close to home. He knows what's going on in the state. I don't know if he gets swayed, but this is the biggest decision sitting around One Buck Palace right now, and we get to talk to Bruce Arians tomorrow at 2 o'clock. I'm very curious to see what he says about this. What do you think?
You're absolutely right, Steve. Now, the first thing that needs to be said, and I'm not going to speak for the three of us. I'll speak for myself. The first thing that needs to be said is we don't need to be second-guessing Donovan Smith's decision no matter what it is. It's his decision. It's a personal decision. It's based on family and whatever way he decides. Play, report, hold out, don't play. You have to respect that. You have to respect that. It's not going to be because he wants his contract torn up. You know, it's going to be a very sober decision. And I don't want anybody picking on Donovan Smith if he decides to opt out of the 2020 season. It's a season like no other. Having said that, Steve, you're absolutely right. This is not Keyshawn Vaughn we're talking about. This is one of the NFL's most durable offensive linemen, arguably the Bucs' most important offensive lineman, and they'd be hard-pressed to replace him, gentlemen. Hard-pressed. I would be shocked if he sits out the season and they decide to move Wirfs to the left side. I don't even think that's going to be bandied about.
I think that's nuts. Steve, you may not agree with that. The Joe Haig pickup, although he doesn't have a lot of experience at left tackle, he is a veteran. They may go with him, but it would be a significant blow on the brink of training camp. And you're right. Arians is going to get asked it tomorrow, and I got a feeling if he's not asked by the time the three of us get on that call, we'll make sure we ask it. Smith has a big, big decision to make. Either way, we have to respect the decision.
Well, Ira, I got to challenge you a little bit here because you've basically set ground rules for how to treat Donovan Smith if he opts out. Now, I'm going to ask you to take that a step further because I agree with you. Got to respect the guy's decision. But what do we do, Ira? What do you do? What is fair game? Because you're sort of telling fans what's fair game and what's not. What about if Donovan Smith opts out and then, let's say it's a little bit after Labor Day and you see him posting on social media how he's going bowling and they just racked up a 240 at Pin Chasers and the next week he's taking pictures at the beach with a lot of people around with no masks. What are we allowed to comment on that or no?
The obvious answer to that is Bruce Arians is calling Jason Light ASAP and saying who are the best left tackles coming out of the 2021 draft, because that would probably be the end of Donovan Smith's Buck career right then and there. You got to be consistent if you're doing it for health concerns and medical.
But he'd still have guaranteed money on the opt-out. He would come back in 2021 with $16 million or so guaranteed that the Bucks would have to pay him.
Maybe I move him at that point, where teams would not be obligated to him past that one season. That might be enticing for a team that, and plenty of teams need a veteran left tackle, and he is durable. I've said all along I think the Bucks can do better. They don't have anybody on their roster right now that's better, but I think they settled for average at left tackle for the past 5 years. And I don't even think he's averaging as a run blocker. Maybe a little above average as a pass blocker.
Sage, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves just because we don't know if he's opting out. But I'll go around right. The horn here. Lee, what do you think? You think he's going to opt out if you had to throw a few bucks on it? No?
I don't think he will. I don't think he will. What do you say, Lee?
I don't think he will. You know, I think he's serious about it, but I don't think he will. You know, he knows that the team needs him. They just got Brady. There's big expectations. It's not like the guy from Kansas City, the right guard, who's also a doctor,
right,
or at least a medical practitioner. It's a little bit different because he's trying to help save lives. I think Donovan Smith plays.
All right, Sage. Now, as we wind down this shortened, abbreviated podcast, Down and Dirty, Fast and Furious, because we know everything's going to change after Bruce Arians talks Tuesday afternoon, and we'll get back.
Hold on, Steve. I got one more thing to say. I hope I'm wrong about this, but I don't think I would be. If Smith opts out, even for what he deems legitimate health concerns, Steve, human nature, I don't think he would be looked at the same by some of his teammates going forward. I do not.
So that's just... that's just empty talk when you hear the players saying, oh, we support him.
Empty talk.
Well, I tell you, who's going to turn on him? You know, Donovan Smith, I have nothing against Donovan Smith. I mean, you guys know I defended Donovan Smith a whole lot more than I've ever criticized him. But he's not the most popular player on the Bucks, not by a long shot. If he does, even though they're all, you know, valid concerns, his baby, his family, his health, I get all that. But if he does opt out, especially this year with the, you know, all the expectations, especially now that we've learned that the salary cap is going to be shaved next year, so it looks more like a one-year window, fans are going to turn on him big time. They're going to turn
whether it's fair or not, it would happen, Steve. It would happen.
I agree with you guys there for sure. All right, Ira, I want to run this by you quickly. And, of course, our thanks again to Bill Curry Ford. The end of the month is here. Shop now. The deals are fantastic. You don't know what next month is going to bring when it comes to these 0% 72-month financing offers. BillCurryFord.com. Ira?
Yes, sir.
It came out this past week. Just a very benign kind of thing. ESPN put out that only two teams have no official staff members devoted to analytics. And those two teams are the Titans and the Buccaneers. Every other team has multiple guys, or they listed all the names. And I want your sage wisdom here, Ira, because Jason Light came to town and he built an analytics department. He was one of the earlier guys who developed an analytics department. Not every team had him back then, and he built it up, and he had his analytics chief and all this stuff. Dirk Cutter wasn't a big fan of analytics, and all of a sudden Bruce Arians comes in and poof, the thing disappears. You know, that what do you make of that? Is that basically Light losing a power struggle?
Well, I know for a fact, Steve, you know, being on all these podcasts with you, and Lee knows it too. This rubs you the wrong way, this analytics thing. You are looking for all kinds of signs that the Bucs are not ahead of the curve. They're not cutting edge. And this might be another example. Lee, I'll say this. Their draft last year, sans analytics, looks pretty good, especially when you compare it to some drafts of the past that were analytics rich. So, you know, I'm not sure there's a direct link to success with the analytics department, but the Bucs are outliers here, Lee. They are. There's only 2 out of 32 that aren't stocking up in the analytic department. It's taken baseball by storm, which I'll say it before you. I'll say it before you have, Lee. You're up to your neck in analytics. You've had enough.
I'm just done with baseball. I love baseball, real baseball, not this glorified softball league, beer league softball that, you know, swing for the fences every pitch. I grew up loving baseball. I do love baseball. What they play today isn't what I call baseball. It's not even close. And I'm just done with it. I'm just absolutely, you know, you take your OBGYNs and shove them where the sun never shines. And yes, I said exactly what I said on purpose. It's called satire.
You know, Steve, look, your point is hard to argue against. Light grew up with analytics. He's been with the Patriots, the Eagles. He knows the importance of analytics. He stressed it in the past. And now, with this bust up, you would think, you know, Arians made the call. You wouldn't think it came from the Glazers. You wouldn't. I don't think they're looking to cut $600,000 here in a spot that might be important. So that's the way Arians wants it. That's the way it's going to be. And at least on the surface, Steve, this draft didn't suffer because of it.
My thing on the analytics with the Bucs, it's surprising that the two teams that are not using analytics, and I'm not saying analytics are fully garbage. I don't. You know, they are helpful. How helpful? I'm not sure. But they are helpful. Let's put it that way. With the analytics, though, it's surprising that the two teams that have done away with their analytics are both Belichick disciples. Belichick himself is a big analytics guy. No, he doesn't like the Pro Football Frauds. He can't stand those guys. But Ernie Adams has been by Belichick's side forever, and that's a stat geek. And so I've had people that I've talked to that work with Belichick. They say he's very much, I mean, he's very good at deciphering what are good stats and what are not bad, what are bad stats. But he very much is any kind of piece of information he wants to see. And analytics is just that. It's information. That, you know, that's where Light grew up in that organization. That's where John Robinson, Nashville's general manager, the Titans, that's where he grew up in that same organization. And so it's surprising that two guys that come from the Belichick tree have gotten rid of their analytics department. That's very surprising. But Ira, I'm going to ask you about this. This will not change as far as the time. I read this in Albert Breer's column today. And you and I both talked off this podcast about how, you know, it's possible that there will be no more locker room access during the week after this year. I got a dark feeling that the NFL is going to say, hey, we got just as good a coverage from all of our entities that we had without access to the locker room than before. Why are we having these guys come in, possibly getting our players sick, possibly getting our players pissed off? Let's just close it. Albert Breer suggests we're not that far away from zero hitting in any practice. OTAs, mini camp, training camp, regular season. He said we're almost at the doorstep that's going to be a thing of the past. And he spoke with Dartmouth, their head coach, I know he's not Nick Saban, but the guy hasn't had hitting in any of his practices in a long time. And apparently his research shows that injuries drop like a rock as a result of no hitting in practice. They hit against dummies to learn technique and things like that. And the Dartmouth coach also said he's had NFL people and NFLPA people study his practices and come talk to him to find out how he's able to put together a decent program with no hitting at all in any practice.
Well, I might come I might come off as another version of Mike Ditka here, but my reaction, Lee, that's not football. That's not football. They've taken so much physicality out of the game. I think they're on the brink of changing the fundamental aspect of football. And I'm not talking about, and I've never believed that people demand blood-curdling hits. I've never believed that. They like to see the physical aspect of football. It's intrinsic to the game. This is not bocce. They're not playing bocce ball out there, gentlemen. So, Lee, no hitting in practice. You know, guys can't tackle now. Well, what's it going to be like when they're trying to tackle immobile dummies? I'm not buying it. And by the way, last time I seen Dartmouth wasn't in the Power Five conference. So,
By the way, with the tackling dummies, they are robotic tackling dummies now, and that's what Dartmouth uses. And as a matter of fact, the Bucks have a couple of them. I've seen them. So that's not the old school tackling dummy where some guy has to hold it up. These guys are robotic.
Well, the Bucks were cutting edge, because 3 years ago they did have a tackling dummy, Chris Baker, but
he grinded on trees.
Ira, I'm getting you out of here. You're done. Be well this week. We will reconvene shortly for podcast 2. We might have a podcast 3.
That's right.
Drink up that big storm beer tonight, Ira. Get some rest. You got a busy week ahead.
All right, baby.